All right, I just remembered this. So I'm new to the Rocky series.
Yeah, your first week here, you admitted you'd only seen the first one. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Have I reset?
I have since watched 2, 3, and now, as of last night, Rocky 4, which is maybe the most unbelievable movie I have ever seen in my life.
What? 3 and 4?
What happened?
Pretty great 1-2 punch.
What in the hell happened?
Well, you see,
how did we do that? What happened?
America was going through a tough time.
They clearly.
Tensions were at an all-time high with our compadres over in Russia, Soviet Union there. And Hollywood capitalized.
We needed a hero. And that man was Rocky Balboa, who maybe ended the Cold War. I mean,
oh, he did, absolutely.
That is
all 5'10" of Rocky.
That's the
Balboa.
Thought that I had.
Yeah, he ended the Cold War.
If I could change, you could change, we could all change. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is it? That was the movie? It's over?
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies.
Unbelievable movie.
Now, very quickly, what did you think of 2?
Okay, so 2.
It's the exact same movie with a different ending.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It felt like 4 felt a little bit more like a little bit more of a caricature of itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That's an accurate assessment.
But I grew to, like, I grew to. The only character with any depth in the entire thing is Apollo Creed.
Yes. Yes, that is.
So you kind of get to understand him a little bit. Which is why it was shocking how he met his ultimate demise. And
spoiler alert for a movie that's 40 years old.
in Rocky IV. We could talk about that. I didn't really get that either. Why did he not want to throw in the towel? Why did he want to just stay out? Did he have a death wish?
Yes. He had accomplished everything he could accomplish. Stubborn to the end.
Mm.
Rocky 3, also very cartoonish.
Uh-huh.
And you're maybe not as big a wrestling guy as I am. Did that movie do anything for you with Thunderlips?
Thunderlips and
Mr. T.
Yeah, Clubber Lang.
Yeah, Clubber Lang.
I think they've gotten. I left the first one thinking, what the hell? And I think they've gotten more and more what the hell every time. Which,
yeah, that's okay.
So
yeah.
You tell me, are they supposed to be kind of like that? By 4, are we talking about like they're laughing at their own jokes?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if they know that those movies are hilarious, but also great. 3 and 4 are great, but they are funny.
Shang Ping Appreciation Club says, I'm so jealous that you got to watch Rocky IV for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there by myself. And I'm like, you know what? All right, fine. I'm going to do it. I got an hour here. And that is the great thing about those movies. They're just a hard 90 minutes and out.
Yeah, they're very quick.
Yep.
You know you're going to get a montage.
And that one, in Rocky IV, there was 3.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of montages in Rocky IV.
I mean, that's like 30 minutes of the movie. That's a third of the movie. It was the Creed and Rocky friendship montage.
Yeah.
Which was great. And then 2 training montages back to back. Only to be interrupted by Adrian showing up in Russia for some reason to say that she supported Rocky. And then there was another montage. Another 10-minute montage. Training, Adrian for 10 seconds, training.
Did you watch the original version of Rocky IV, or there's a director's cut that just came out that's kind of making the rounds?
I have now heard about the director's cut. I did not watch the director's cut.
I don't care for the director's cut.
What do you think happened to the director? What do they do in the director's cut?
There's a weird Rocky monologue after the fight.
Oh, no.
That's like even longer, and Rocky IV walks a very fine line between great and horrible.
Yes.
And it walks that tightrope very well.
Yes, it does.
The director's cut does not.
It's the Rocky IV is the Walenda of walking, the Nick Walenda of walking that line.
And Sylvester Stallone always hated the robot that is a part of Rocky IV.
Oh, yes, that was the other thing. Where did the hell did that come from?
Well, robots were very trendy, and they're like, hey, if you want new eyeballs on this series, you gotta get a robot.
They couldn't come up with anybody for Polly to be friends with except for the robot?
Well, the director's cut removes all of the robot.
So there's no robot. All right. I'm out on the director's cut.
Yeah.
Now, while I didn't understand the robot, I loved the robot.
Exactly. Without the robot, it left me wanting something. I just wanted something for Polly.
Poor Polly. Yeah, like Rocky III has this whole thing. He's like, why can't I ever have anything for Polly? What happened to Polly? Why? It's always this and that, and what happened to Polly? He plays the downtrodden guy very, very well. So, update on where I'm at. I'm all in. I'm all in on Rocky now. At first, I didn't really get it.
Well,
now it feels like they're laughing at their own jokes, which is great. Maybe. I don't know what's going to happen in Rocky V. Could he fight anybody else anymore?
Well, I have some bad news for you.
Okay.
Rocky IV marks sort of a line of demarcation for the series in that Rocky V is literal trash.
Okay.
So you could probably just read the wiki on that one.
We fell off the line.
Yeah. He trained some kid to fight some pretty boy. Doesn't work out well.
So he's out. Rocky's done.
Well, yeah, he's going to be a trainer. And then there's Rocky Balboa, which I've heard is pretty decent. I haven't seen it myself.
There's like five more after Rocky IV.
Well, yeah, and then there's the Creed movies.
The Creeds, yeah.
First Creed is terrific.
Okay, good.
Second Creed is a retread of Rocky IV, which is worth a watch. But
so Creed, Apollo Creed's son fights Drago's son?
Yeah.
Would be my guess?
Yeah. A lot of montages in that one, too.
Sure. Well, yeah, well, it's hard to imagine that movie. I mean, it's the 80s, right? It's hard to imagine that movie being made in the 2000 teens whenever the Creeds came out. So, yeah, all right, good. I'll go into that with lowered expectations.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. You've hit the high water mark of the series. No one's going to question, oh, you haven't seen Rocky V?
I should have video streamed myself watching it for the
first
time.
You should have live tweeted it at least. Would have been good content.
Damon tweets at us, there's a lot of blasphemy going on in the last 9 minutes. What? Is that a pro-Rocky IV argument, or is that an anti-Rocky IV argument?
I don't know.
Where have we been?
I think even people that love Rocky IV can take a look at it and go, this might not be the best movie ever made. It's terrific. But also,
right,
comical.
So this has been the whole thing for me over the last four movies. I've been trying to figure out what are they attempting to accomplish, and maybe I should just stop asking myself the question and just enjoy it.
I think that's kick back, put your feet up, eat some popcorn, and don't ask a bunch of questions.
I should have live texted you during it because I was just sitting there like, I can't believe this is happening.
Jimmy tweets saying Creed 1 is arguably the best of the whole series. I would...
Like the best actual movie, the most enjoyable watch.
Best movie.
Because I would have a hard time... I would have a hard time thinking that I'm going to enjoy another Rocky movie more than I enjoyed Rocky IV. Like, just a watching experience.
Yeah, Rocky IV is an experience. Creed 1 is probably the best actual movie.
Okay. All right, we'll go into it, those thoughts. Yeah, and then, so John tweets at us, Creed's trainer, who then becomes Rocky's trainer, that guy's just sitting there yelling the whole movie. And then they, him and Rocky, like, actually kind of build a relationship. That's odd.
Yeah, movies of that era didn't really take the time to develop male friendships.
Yeah.
They're just kind of...
Got it.
All right, you're in the same place. I'm in the same place. We're friends.
So there's my story. That's basically what I did this weekend. I watched a lot of football, and then I watched Rocky IV.
You had a hell of a weekend.
For the first time in my life. Yeah. It was pretty enjoyable. Took a nap during the Bucks game.
You got a nap, you got playoff football, and Rocky IV for the first time. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to remember this weekend.
I felt like it was pretty good stuff. Let's talk about officiating for a couple minutes. If we get anything else on the Rocket, what? Did we get more tweets?
No, I'm just very happy for you.
I'm really happy. I went on the Wikipedia page afterwards. I read that whole thing. I'm like, I love this movie. But I also kind of hate it. I'm not sure what's going on.
You love your country more than you did on Friday afternoon,
don't
you?
That's probably true.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sense of pride it instilled in a nation.
Honestly, I have some more respect for the Soviets now. Because they changed. Talk about the ultimate twist in a movie. The ultimate plot twist. The people in Soviet Russia started cheering for the American guy mid-fight. Unbelievable. So yeah, you should be jealous. Should be jealous of the weekend that I had. I told Josh before the break, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. I watched Rocky IV last night. Oh God, we have to talk about this immediately. All right, officiating. So this might not seem like a replay thing, but let's go back. And by the way, if you want to call in and you have Rocky stuff to talk to me about, look, we can talk Rocky. Because now I'm in. I'm in on the joke now, and I've never been more happy. I hate being left out of jokes, so we can, you know, derail this conversation at any moment. Yeah. It may seem like the whole Bengals situation was not focused and centered around instant replay, but it's a good example of it for me. It's a good picture of it for me. The ref blew that inadvertent whistle, standing right on top of the play where Joe Burrow throws the football. And like, clearly, I mean, even from the first time when we saw it live on TV, he was not out of bounds when he threw that football. He wasn't even close to being out of bounds. And then obviously the replay followed that up. So what could the official who was standing right on top of that play, who inadvertently blew the whistle, meaning he blew the whistle thinking that he was standing out of bounds, what was he looking at? Wasn't close. So this is one of my biggest things when replay comes into play. And the issue centers around this for me mostly. There's a lot of stuff with it. But if you want my elevator pitch on why I get frustrated with the whole idea of it, here it is. The officials know that they have instant replay in their back pockets. So they're not particularly incentivized to make the right call on the field. Or, as we saw multiple times over the weekend, they're not incentivized to make a call at all on the field. They even introduced the whole thing I think it happened in the 49ers-Cowboys game, the quick replay, where it just quickly gets overturned and they can just move on from it there. If it's obvious, the people buzz down, they're like, all right, yeah, it just changes. The refs don't even have to see it, they go with it. So then the replay happens, and then it's tough to overturn the call on the field, which only happened because they knew that they had replay in their back pocket the entire time, so isn't being made with the best intention, right? It's gotten to be way too much of a head game. I mean, there is even times, like I said, I think this happened a few times in that Bengals-Raiders game, where the officials will come on the microphone afterwards and they'll say, blah, 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 this was the call on the field. They shouldn't have to tell you what the call on the field was. You should know what the call on the field was because they're making the call. If it's a catch, you spot the ball up there and you stop the clock, boom, that's the call on the field. But what happens is the officials start having these discussions and they're like, okay, this is the call on the field. And then they go to the replay to look at it. And if they make that so difficult to overturn, I don't know. It needs to be a situation where maybe instant replay is only available through challenge. I don't know if that's the exact fix for all this stuff, but it feels like it's doing more harm than good. And that certainly is included in the officials and how they decide to make their calls. They know. They know that they can go straight to the monitor just by, you know, and they can make a call on the field and it could be whatever it is. That's one of the more frustrating things for me, and we saw that a lot. I mean, we saw some bad officiating over the weekend anyway. But it's gotten to the point where we don't know what the call on the field is anymore. So it's really tough for both of those parties with the presence of replay. We get some, let's see here. Got some emails and some tweets into the show. People interested in my thoughts on Rocky now that I've seen it one time. Rocky IV.
Yeah, I'm sure you're getting like an outpouring of congratulations.
I feel like I'm a part of the club now. I'm a part of the family.
Welcome in.
Thank you.
We meet on Tuesdays and one Saturday a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I'd be happy to attend. I do want to, I mean, I do, maybe we could start like a, maybe we could start a podcast where you just talk about movies, me and you.
Yeah, love it.
Movies that you've seen,
mm-hmm,
that I definitely haven't seen because, okay, as we know, I haven't seen many.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually kind of a good idea, I think. But here's the pitch.
It'd be like a film school.
Yeah, it'd be like film school with Josh.
Yeah.
You already know what the deal is going in. You tell me which movies to watch. I haven't seen them. I watch them for the first time, and I give you my thoughts. And you're like, well, I don't know so much about that.
This is actually a great idea because it does several things. It's content for the station, always a plus. It gets you educated, which is,
I need to be,
wonderful. Yeah,
clearly.
And it feeds my ego because I get to play the instructor, which is crucial to our dynamic. So that's 3 for 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's checking a lot of boxes for me. We'll have to tinker with it.
Okay.
I am pro film school podcast.
David said the funniest thing about the whole last 15 minutes was Connor's utter disbelief that they would actually make movies like that back in the 80s. That, I mean, you pinpointed it right there. That's it.
Yeah, that is a very good observation.
It's like,
I mean, we just had money to burn back then in the 80s and then the 90s.
There was something so 80s about it. You know, you could just, like, it has this very, very distinguished, you know, this is an 80s movie quality. It's the sounds. By the way, one of the first things I think my wife only watched Rocky 3 with me, so she is even more confused than I am. But one of the things that she noticed was the sound that it makes when they punch people.
Very loud.
Extremely loud. It's not what it sounds like when you get punched by a boxer.
Not necessarily.
I don't think so. I'm more interested in the montages and, you know, now we have an involvement of a robot. Just the noises that are made in the movie, not the punching noises, but like some of the sounds,
you know, like generic robot sounds, like bragging that we have technology, but even in that time, you just would have to know this is going to be poorly aged technology by the time this movie comes out.
Yes.
Everything. Well, we have technology. We have it.
And look, I appreciate movies that are like that. It's just it is a still shot. It is a time capsule. Mm-hmm. This is what it was in this very moment. In some movies, there's nothing that ages it. Right? It could still work now. In some movies, it can only work then. So that's my thing with the Creed movies. Like, how do you make Rocky? How do you make Rocky in 2018? You just can't.
The Creed movies are very modern, very modern.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they still have like a Rocky like flair to them, or they're just trying to be actual movies? Because
I would lean
Rocky
more,
is a story that could be told really, really well.
Yeah. I would lean more towards they're trying to make a great movie with pre-existing characters. But there's a couple like, hey, this is a Rocky movie. You expect a training montage. You expect Sylvester Stallone to be like, I don't know if this is such a good idea. I don't know if we should do it, man. But, you know, hey, let's give it a shot.
Yeah, it seems like there was a little bit of that. Oh,
typically, the less involved Sylvester Stallone is in the making of the movie, the better it is.
I've gotten that.
Except for that first one where he wrote it all and it won Best Picture and all that stuff. But
Sean emails in on the Equitable Bank inbox, Connor at 1620thezone.com. Congrats, you have now been exposed to the Hearts on Fire montage. I've had Hearts on Fire in my head since last night at about like 11 o'clock. Hearts on Fire. Right. Yeah. Did I listen to it on the way into work today? Yes.
Like, if you were going to give a person, like a young man turning 18, like, okay, like a movie bar mitzvah, like, okay, you will watch these four movies and then you will become a man.
Oh, wow.
Rocky IV is one of them.
Wow. That's pretty good. It's like you have to experience this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You absolutely have to experience this just to know. I mean, this is what, you know, this is a good picture of what life was like. This is also the end of the Cold War.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also a great history lesson.
And it tells a great, you know, it ends with a great lesson, which is, if I could change, you could change. We all could change.
Next on the list for you, Tango and Cash, followed by Cobra.
I love it. You need to come up with a list for me, and then we'll do a podcast.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
We'll do a podcast on each one of these movies, and then we'll just talk about it. It could be a quick, like we could do it Rocky style, like, you know, 30, 35 minutes. Just a good conversation. I'm all in for this because I need to be trained on some movie making methods.
We'll get you caught up. You caught up. I have not lost hope for you.
All right, so expect that coming soon from us here at 1620 The Zone. Let's take a break. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic is going to join us next. There was movement. I know I'm talking about Rocky a lot. The NFL, there was plenty of movement on the Nebraska roster. What about this idea of competition now? The roster is jam-packed. It is full, and there is new blood on the roster. What might that look like, and how can it work to Nebraska's advantage or disadvantage? Mitch Sherman joins the show next on 1620 The Zone.